Let's bow in a word of prayer. As part of my prayer, I want to read just a paragraph from the Valley of Vision that expresses my prayer at this point. Dear Father, I myself need thy support, comfort, strength, holiness, that I might be a pure channel of thy grace and be able to do something for thee. Give me then refreshment among thy people, and help me not to treat excellent matter in a defective way, or to bear a broken testimony to so worthy a redeemer, or be harsh in treating of Christ's death, its design and end, from lack of warmth and fervency, and keep me in tune with thee as I do this work. Father, I would ask that tonight we would see Jesus in a new way. I pray that you would help me to say what you desire me to say and to prevent me from saying what you do not want me to say. In Christ's name, amen. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Jesus is in the wilderness, and I'm going to address five questions. So if you got the paper, you see what the questions are. Why did Jesus fast? What is Jesus teaching us about fasting? What is Jesus teaching us about himself? What is Jesus teaching us about ourselves? And finally, what is the connection between his fasting and the cross? But we're going to start by looking at the context for the passage. So we'll start reading. I'd like to read starting in chapter 3, verse 13, which looks at the baptism of Jesus. And we'll go through chapter 4, verse 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And chapter 4, Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Go figure, after 40 days and 40. The tempter came to him and said, If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus answered, It is written, Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down, for it is written, He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered him, It is also written, Do not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. All this I will give you, he said, if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus said to him, Away from me, Satan, for it is written, Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. Those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." So we can see here, we're going to be looking at Jesus in the wilderness with his fasting and temptation. But right before that, we have the ministry of John the Baptist. We have the baptism of Jesus by John. Then we have Jesus in the wilderness, tempted by Satan following 40 days of fasting. Then we have the start of Jesus' public ministry, his public preaching. And then if you continue in chapter 4, he calls his first disciples. And then in chapters 5, 6, and 7, we have the Sermon on the Mount. So this is the start of Jesus' public ministry. I want to take a real brief look at Jesus' baptism back in chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. A voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." When I read this, I was struck. We have the Trinity evident to everybody there. Here was Jesus being baptized. We see the Spirit of God lighting on him as a dove. Those around could see that. And then we hear the voice of the Father declaring his love for his Son and giving a public endorsement of Jesus for his ministry. I hadn't really thought of that before. So, what is the first act of the Spirit in the life of Jesus following his baptism? Chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Why did Jesus fast? Or was his fasting a preparation for the testing? Or was his fasting part of the testing? And what was Jesus teaching us about fasting, about himself, about ourselves? And before we answer those questions, we're going to look at the three testings of Jesus by Satan. We all know that Jesus answered each of these testings by quoting Scripture, by quoting the Old Testament. But let's look more closely at the text that he quoted. In the first temptation, Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, and I'll return to that in a minute. The second one, Satan takes Jesus to the highest point of the temple, and Satan says, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Here, Satan is quoting from Psalm 91. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." This is a quote from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 16. After taking him to a very high mountain and showing him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor, Satan says, "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." This is a quote from Deuteronomy 6, 13. So let me give you a little more context for these last two quotes. Moses is addressing the people of Israel at the end of their wandering for 40 years in the wilderness and just prior to their entering the promised land. So I'm going to read for you Deuteronomy 6, 13 through 16, which gives us the context for these last two. "Fear the Lord your God, serve him only, and take your oaths in his name. Do not follow other gods, the gods of the peoples around you, for the Lord your God, who is among you is a jealous God, and his anger will burn against you, and he will destroy you from the face of the land. Do not test the Lord your God as you did at Massah. So we can see both the first phrase was his response to the third testing, and at the very end of this is his response to the second testing by Satan. So what's the significance of these passages that Jesus quotes in response to Satan's testing? So now I want to go back to the first temptation and Jesus' response. And here is the context for the first quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. So what I've given you here is verses 2 and 3 from Deuteronomy 8. Moses is again speaking to the people of Israel. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. So if you'd follow my thinking here, I think that understanding this, the context for this passage, will help us better understand why Jesus fasted in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. And not only why he fasted, but what is the connection of his fasting with his testing by Satan. In Deuteronomy, Moses is helping the people of Israel. This is God's specially chosen people to understand the purpose of the 40 years of wandering through the desert that they had just completed. Remember how God led you all that way for 40 years, to humble you, to test you to know what was in your heart, to test your obedience to his commands. He humbled you. He caused you to hunger. He fed you miraculous manna to teach you that your dependence is on God and his word. Note the parallels with the account of Jesus in the desert in Matthew 4. Jesus was led by the Spirit of God to the desert. He is in the desert for 40 days. He is hungering as Israel hungered. He is tested as Israel was tested. I think this is a significant revelation of who Jesus is. In Deuteronomy 18:15, Moses tells the people of Israel, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own brothers. You must listen to him." This is a reference to his successor, Joshua, but also a prophetic reference to Jesus, the future Joshua. Moses and then Joshua led the people of Israel out of slavery in Egypt through 40 years of testing in the desert and into the promised land. This foreshadows the greater story. Jesus comes to lead his people out of slavery to sin into the promised land of forgiveness and eternal life with God. The Old Testament account is a picture of the spiritual reality of Jesus and what he did in his life and death on the cross. Through the fasting and testing in the desert, Jesus is helping us to see and understand this truth. Jesus is identifying himself as the Savior of his people. So Jesus' fasting is more than just a preparation for the testing. It is part of the testing. As Pastor Colby has pointed out in his recent messages, fasting reveals what is in our heart. What do we really depend on? What controls us? What are we slaves to? Will we murmur and grumble and complain as we face testings, as the people of Israel did in the desert? When we fast, we are saying with Jesus, "Not by bread alone, but by you, Lord. Not by bread alone, but by you, Lord." we are expressing our dependence on God. I want to look more closely at this first testing of Jesus by Satan. Satan tests Jesus by telling him to perform a miracle and turn this stone into bread. This is a reference to the miraculous manna provided by God to his people. Satan is saying, God provided manna for the people when they were hungry. Surely you can perform a miracle to provide yourself with bread to satisfy your hunger by turning this stone into bread. Jesus recognizes this for what it is, knowing that his faithful obedience to and trust in his Father is necessary for his mission, which is to suffer and to die for his people. Jesus' fasting is a test of his appetite and a triumph of his hunger for God above everything else. Hebrews 12:2, you probably remember I've quoted that many times before. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. He also endured the 40 days of fasting in the desert and the testings of Satan. So, what are the lessons for us? How can we be challenged by looking at what Jesus endured in the desert? First, what do we hunger for most? Fasting is one way we can test our hearts. Are we so hungry for God alone that we are willing to pass by his miraculous provisions? Bear with me. Natalie Grant has a song that has played on her Christian radio station with these lyrics. I know if you wanted to, you could wave your hand, spare me this heartache and change your plan. And I know any second you could take my pain away. But even if you don't, I pray, help me want the healer more than the healing. Help me want the savior more than the saving. Help me want the giver more than the giving. Help me want you, Jesus, more than anything. Our heart's tendency is to make gods out of the good gifts from God, including food. Do we want God more than his gifts? Fasting is one way to test our heart's desires. The second lesson I think we can learn is the desert is a picture of life. We have been delivered from the slavery to sin, the bondage to sin. We have been delivered from Egypt. We are now on our journey through the wilderness. This is a picture of our life, of trials and temptations and testings. We are led by the Spirit of God through times of testing where we learn to depend on God. We learn humility. We learn to endure. We look forward to entering the promised land. We look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Jesus shows us the way through this wilderness and testing. In Romans 8:18, Paul says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. One of the Negro spirituals I'm going to quote will understand it by and by. I learned after I put this down that we actually have it in our hymnal, but I will not sing it. But this expresses this picture of the life of the believer. We are often destitute of the things that life demands: want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord, and according to God's word, we will understand it by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God could lead us to that blessed promised land. But he guides us with his eye, and will follow till we die, for we'll understand it by and by. I won't do the chorus. Finally, I want to look at what's the connection between Jesus fasting and testing in the desert and the cross. Jesus came to earth to live as a man and to die. That was his mission, to die on the cross so that we can live, so that we have eternal life with the Father. Everything in his life and ministry points to the cross. Mark 10:45, Jesus says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus knew what his mission was and what was required of him. Jesus faced hunger and testing in the desert. Our salvation can be traced back to his passing these tests. Jesus expresses total dependence on God and is therefore the perfect sacrifice for our sins. Jesus demonstrates his trust in God in the face of trying circumstances. Could Jesus have failed the tests? That is a thorny theological question that I don't think is helpful. But he demonstrated his total dependence on God in order to show us the way and to show us that he is worthy to lead us to the promised land of God's blessing. He shows us the way through the wilderness, but more than that, he is the way through our wilderness. His death on the cross provides us with the hope of the promised land of blessing. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for what you have accomplished through the death of your Son on our behalf. Father, we can't begin to understand the great love that you have expressed. But Father, we want to thank you for that now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.